Bonjour à tous, hello everyone, and welcome to the press conference for the Tree of Life. A lot of behind-the-camera talent here at this table, starting from the far, my far left. He worked with Mr. Malik on the Thin Red Line. He's in charge of all the visuals, I was told, non-computer graphics, I was told, which I find hard to believe, Mr. Grant Hill. Sitting next to him, the founder of River Road Entertainment, and as such, he worked with Mr. Sean Penn on Into the Wild, Mr. Bill Pollard. Skip the two in the middle. President of Plan B, and as such, Mr. Brad Pitt's longtime producing partner, Ms. Dee Dee Gardner. She worked with Terrence Malick on The New World, and she's, I'm told, working on Mr. Malick's next project. She also executive produced a film called Take Shelter, which was shown yesterday at the Critics Week, and which stars the young lady in the middle, Miss Sarah Green. Which makes it easy to segue into the before-the-camera talent, the young lady as Miss O'Brien, Jessica Chastain on this side of the pond, Chastain on the other side of the pond. As Mr. O'Brien, Brad Pitt. And conspicuous by their absence, Mr. Sean Penn, and writer-director Terrence Malick. So would any of you be kind enough to tell us why they're not here today?
I mean, I'll address Sean not being here. He is in Haiti, as many of you know. He's been doing a lot of work there. And the recently elected or inaugurated president, they were just meeting on NGOs and his work there. So he's on his way, should be here momentarily. So,
Didi? Sarah?
Sure. Mr. Malick is very shy. And I would say that I believe his work speaks for him.
Oh, no, that's not good enough. But for the moment...
We'll turn the volume up.
For the moment, we'll settle for this. First question here, second question over there.
Yes, good morning. Bruce Kirkland of the Toronto Sun and Sun Media. I have this sensation that perhaps Terrence Malick would rather be birdwatching than filmmaking. And I share that sentiment. But nevertheless, given that he so rarely makes films and drags himself away from his relationship with nature, you have a feeling that it must be something special. So here we are with the Tree of Life. So I'm curious to hear from Brad Pitt and Jessica Chastain about working with a man who creates cinema more like a French impressionist than a normal, and I put normal in quotations, more linear, more conventional cinema. This must be an extraordinary experience, but also very different in terms of what he's expecting from both of you.
Yeah, I could go on far too long, and
you have three days to answer that.
About Terry's process, but it was very, very interesting with us. So the quick strokes were, our section of the story takes place in the 50s, and Terry started by renting the entire block and then dressing it as the 1950s. And therefore allowing us to walk outside, to go wherever we wanted. He would have a couple of kids jumping rope outside. And his idea is, even though he handed us a very dense script, he never wanted to, what he called, hammer and tong a scene to as it's written. He was more interested in catching what was happening on the day. He's like a guy standing there with a big butterfly net and waiting for that moment of truth to go by. So the kids themselves were not given the script, they weren't allowed the script. They had a closet of clothes. They put on what they wanted to put on that day, and that's what we shot in. And we would do two takes, and Terry would also bring in, he would get up every morning and write for an hour, and he would give us pages in the morning, single spaced, like three or four pages, and we kind of developed something out of that. And I think because of that is why the moments are fresh, because they are not preconceived in any way. The lighting, there was only one light in the house. Everything else was natural light, one light over the table, and everything was handheld. And it was a pretty incredible experience. I don't know that I could do them all that way because it's exhausting. But you see what you get. Would you like to add anything?
For me, it was a lot about giving up any idea of what I thought the plan might be for a scene or for a day that we were going to film. And it was all about capturing an accident.
Right.
And there are even scenes like we were shooting a grief section, and I remember I was watching Brad, and you were so good. And then there's this woodpecker going, speaking of bird calling. And I was like, there's a woodpecker somewhere. But there's always ways to incorporate it, because even in the trailer, when you hear the voiceover, there are two ways through life, the way of nature and the way of grace. You hear a bird in the background, and that's actually from the set, me doing that voiceover, and he loved the bird.
I want to add one thing. He does what he calls torpedoing a scene.
Yes.
And the youngest child he called the torpedo. And on the first take, if we're having an argument, we'll be going at it and raising our voices and doing as you do. And the second take, unbeknownst to us, he would just send in Ty, the torpedo, and we'd sit down at the table, and suddenly it changed the whole tenor and tone of the scene. So this is something that would happen on a daily basis as well. Again, I can go on for a couple of days, so I'll cut it there.
On the most basic level, for those of us who have never met Mr. Malik or even seen him, does he laugh? Does he never laugh? Yeah. Does he talk? Does he never talk? Is he stern? Is he jovial? Does he eat? Does he like food?
Here's the thing.
Yes,
and he even goes to the bathroom. But he's quite jovial. He's incredibly sweet. He's laughing most of the day over at, you know, when the dog would act up and bite one of us or something. I mean, he finds pleasure in the day, is my point. And I think this is the difference in great directors and good directors, is that he truly loves all his characters in a very, very passionate way, like respects them, appreciates them. And again, therein lies the difference. Yeah? Yeah.
Question over there.
Hello. I'm Francisco Cáceres from Ticket in Central America. Congratulations on your movie. I have a question for Mr. Brad Pitt. You've talked about how I was working with Mr. Terrence Malick, but I would like to know how much did you get inspired by working with him? I would like to know, as a person and as an artist, how much inspiration did you get from him for the future of your career? Thank you.
It's a good question. It's changed everything I've done since, because you do find... I found in the past that the best moments, what I thought were the best moments, were not preconceived. They were not planned. They were the happy accident that Jessica was describing. So I've tried to, the things we've done since, to try to go more in that direction, and less on making an intense study when you're going into it, but then working with non-actors and trying to go off the script, see where what happens, where it takes you.
Okay, question here, then here. Go ahead.
Farah Nairi from Bloomberg News. A question for Brad Pitt and anyone else who'd care to reply. We're just wondering about how religious Terrence Malick is. I mean, does he believe in God? Because there's the theme of creation and the mystery and Job and all of these very religious and even biblical themes run through this movie, which raises the question. So if you could speak about that as detailed a way as you can.
No, it's a good question as well. We had a lot of theological debates throughout the process. Really interesting. He's a very interesting man to talk to. Sarah probably knows him best. I would say that he's more of a spiritualist than a compartmentalized version of Christianity. He has a more universal viewpoint, in my opinion. Sarah, would you like to speak to that?
I mean, I think Terry's interested in philosophy and all matters of the spirit, and he's extraordinarily educated in all religions and philosophies. So I think that deep interest speaks in all his work.
Insofar as Mr. Malik also wrote the script, since he's not here, it would be inappropriate to ask whether there are any autobiographical elements in the script. But were there any kind of autobiographical echoes in all of you, either behind the camera or in front of the camera? And are there things that the rest of us should know about how particularly Southern men and women choose to express themselves or not express themselves?
Well, I can speak a little bit about the Southern upbringing. But, you know, again, I find this film more universal. I hope it speaks to people, it speaks to all cultures and as far as a childhood and deciding who you're going to be as you grow up, that point from child to young adult, and you try on things. Some things work for you, some things don't, and you're being honed by the influences around you. And in this case, Terry designed it as the mother represents grace and love and all that is pure and good, and the father represents this oppressive nature, the nature that must survive and that will choke out another plant in order to do so. And the young child is trying both things on and figuring out what works for him and who he's going to be as he grows up. And then there's the bigger questions of the impermanence of life that I think we all go through. Now, the Southern upbringing, I'm making it a cliche almost, but there is truth to a purity and sweetness in the mother and a more a father's knows best kind of mentality of father as provider. And in the film here, you see that the American dream, as we grow up to understand it, is not working for the father's on the tail end of that, and there's a lot of anger because of it, and he in turn passes that on to his sons inadvertently, unintentionally. I do think there are elements of the story that are personal to Terry. There were elements of the story that was personal to me, but I don't think it mirrors or it is an exact template of for either one of us.
No, I mean, I would agree. I think we've all had conversations with Terry during the making of the movie, you know, personal conversations about how the story relates to us or all individually. But I think one of the reasons Terry maybe shies away from forums like this is he wants the work to stand on its own. He doesn't want to say what it's about or whether it's autobiographical or not. He just wants the audience to bring their own thing to it and have it be piece of poetry or a piece of art like that, as opposed to him interpreting it or verbalizing it for others.
And I think if you look back through his work generally, I mean, there is a humanity and spiritualism that sort of pervades most of it, and Terry loves to examine those themes. And I think in the context of this film, one of the things that you notice is that people respond very personally in a lot of cases to very different but specific points in the screenplay or in the film. And that's, I think, what his great skill is, that he can assemble a film that will allow people to take away from it, in a sense, what's special or related or even spiritual in their own lives, and it gives you a very strong sort of personal connection, I think.
Okay, question here, then here, then here, then here, then here. Okay, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Ernesto Garrat from El Mercurio de Chile. I want to ask two questions to the producers first about the landscapes. It seems to me that many of the shoot look like my country, Chile. I don't know if you can talk about where were the shooting, because they are spectacular, really. And for Mr. Deep, I want to know...
Okay, one step at a time.
Okay.
Well, we shot in a town called Smithville, Texas, just outside of Austin, And there was obviously a search going on of different places to shoot, but that was what Terry responded to as far as the period and the kind of intimacy of the town itself. And most of the shooting went around there, although we did go off in various parts of Texas and out west for some of the other sequences, but most of it was in Smithville.
Yeah, and those extreme nature sequences were in the slot canyons in Utah and the Great Salt Lake.
Sir, Iceland. And
oh yeah, a bit of that too.
You had a second question for Mr. Pitt.
Yes, please. And to Mr. Pitt, if you can share some memories about your childhood. I mean, growing in Springfield, and what do you remember? Because I think the connection with the movie. You know, Middle East,
boy or
bad
boy,
something like that.
Well, for me, I grew up I grew up with Christianity, and I remember questioning greatly. Some things didn't work for me, some things did, and just having a lot of the questions that the film presents, and I think that's why it spoke to me as it does.
Sir.
Hi, Brian Johnson from Maclean's Magazine in Canada. Given that this is a film very much about mystery, and it sounds like there's a fair bit of mystery in the making of it in the sense that you're capturing happy accidents, I'm wondering, Brad and anybody else who cares to reply, what did you feel you were making at the time if it is sort of evolving in captured moments? When you saw the film, what surprised you the most about it? And what kind of impact do you think it'll have in America, where there aren't a lot of sort of religiously themed films, and religion and Christianity tends to sort of fall on a particular side of the political spectrum?
I mean, I was surprised, one, by the structure. I find quite ingenious. I think this marriage of the micro with the macro, I found most interesting. You know, he tells this micro story of this family in this small town in Texas, and juxtapose it with the macro of the birth of the cosmos and cell splitting, and I find that quite extraordinary. That there seems to be some parallel truths in that. Anyone else?
Well, and also, I think that, again, it gets back to, the sort of notion, I think, of sort of humanity and the broader general questions that come out of that. I think that's more broadly its theme, perhaps, and specifically a religious theme. And, you know, in terms of the overall question of how, you know, a film like that, or perhaps any of his films, come together. I mean, I think it's the film itself is sort of an exploration. I mean, you have a sort of start and an end, and Terry has his themes that he wants to address within that, and some of them, you know, come to the fore very quickly, and a lot of them evolve. So I think he has a very clear idea of what he's setting out to do, but it's the way in which each of those individual aspects will make themselves known is what sort of people have alluded to evolves during the process.
Question over here, then question over there.
Jeffrey Wells, Hollywood Elsewhere. I'd like to direct this to Bill Pollard and to Sarah Green. I do recall either Bert or Harold Schneider saying in a book about the making of Days of Heaven, and particularly the editing of Days of Heaven, that as truly gifted as Terrence Malick obviously is, he needs a tough friend with a stick, a producer ally who's going to bring in a little discipline, a little rigor, particularly in post. Do you guys agree with that? And if not, what's your general feeling about working with him?
Let me start and by saying that Terry is actually the most disciplined director I've ever worked with. He's relentless.
There is no one more rigorous.
Yeah, he's relentless. He works day and night, weekends. He never stops. And he's sometimes the work reveals itself more quickly and sometimes more slowly, but he's always looking for that. He knows when he recognizes it when he sees it. It's not about us doing anything.
And, you know, there was always kind of a long post schedule in the budget. We kind of knew that. But you're right. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth, a lot of hard conversations and arguments back and forth, but not out of line. It was part of the process. I think we all have had conversations with Terry and amongst ourselves as to, again, obviously we were supposed to be here last year, but we all made that decision together. We all felt like it just wasn't ready yet. And as hard a decision as it was in the interest of the film and in Terry's vision. But there were some difficult times for sure, but very healthy times too.
Question over there, then the lady over there.
Hi, it's Rodrigo from Globo Brasil. My question is about the editing process of the film. The film used 5 editors, including Daniel Rezende, that was the editor from Seed of God. Could you comment about the editing? Say a few words about it.
Sure. Part of it was because, in fact, we had such a long post schedule, and we knew it would be very difficult both for someone to keep their clarity for that long and, frankly, be away from their home for that long. So we structured it that way, that we had a series of editors who would bring their own visions to it, work through it, and then we always knew that Mark Yoshikawa, who had worked with us on The New World, would be the one to kind of bring it home and kind of pull all those pieces together. But everyone worked on every part of the film.
And I think Terry, too, just likes to have, he likes to bounce ideas off different people and get different points of view, and I think the editor situation was similar in that he liked to have a fresh eye on it, and then he'd bring people back. It was never about, it didn't work out with somebody. It was more like a different phase of the process. For him.
And I think a lot of directors now, I mean, the film continues to evolve during post-production. I mean, it and very much so with Terry. And he usually, you know, has quite a bit of footage to contend with. So just the mechanics of allowing the normal editorial process to work itself out and at the same time allow him the freedom to continue sort of searching for some things or finding the best possible way of expressing those things that he wants to, it just takes people, takes time.
Question over there, the lady, then the gentleman, then the person over there. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Nadia from South Africa. Bradford, you play quite an authoritarian, very strict father. I wonder what your parenting style is like. And also, were any of the children related to you? Because that second child looked very similar to you.
No relation. I beat my kids regularly. And it seems to do the trick. And deprive them of meals. So,
sir,
Peter Howell, Toronto Star, Canada. Question for Brad Pitt and Jessica Chastain. You both have a very profound understanding of how the film ended up, but I'm wondering how much of a leap of faith was it going in? How much did Terrence Malick tell you that you were doing, or what did he tell you in advance?
I got to work with Terry for about 3 months before we started shooting, and I went to visit him a couple times, and he suggested paintings that I might look at to kind of enrich his quality of grace. But actually making the film, it's really a huge lesson into just completely letting go of all control of what you expect an outcome to be. And that was a great lesson that I took away from it, about absolutely being in the moment. Because, like I said earlier, you just can't plan any moment in his films. I mean, there's a section where a butterfly lands on my hand. It's not in the script, and we didn't put anything on my hand to make it land there. But it's because he creates a set where he allows for those moments to happen that he's able to capture it.
But yes, it's a leap of faith, and that's the point. That's when these accidents are going to happen, and you know you're in great hands with Terry. So it's it's not that scary.
The lady here, the lady here.
Hi, I'm Daphne, Dutch Television, VPRO, and I have a question for Mr. Brad Pitt. You just said that you were brought up in Christianity, and I was wondering which element of your religious upbringing could you use to give your character form? And I have the same question for Jessica Chastain.
You know, I don't know if I thought about it that specifically, because it's internalized. But as far as a faith that I grew up with this being told that God's going to take care of everything, and it doesn't always work out that way, and when it doesn't work out that way, you're then told, well, it's God's will, and then I got my issues, man. You don't want to get me started. Really. I got my issues, but many people find in religion something to be very inspiring and actually leads them to opportunities. I myself found it very stifling as an individual and a tightness to it that I think the father character carried with him. More focus on what you can't do than experiencing and discovery.
Go ahead.
I wasn't raised under any structure, you know, any religious structure, but my family had always been open to different denominations. And with preparing for this, I did a lot of reading and actually meditating and trying to find it through that aspect.
Question here, then here, then here.
Hi, Chaz. Ebert presents at the Movies U.S. As I listen to the press conference this morning, it occurs to me that since Cannes is the most auteur-driven festival of all, that the director, as the driver of the film, no matter how shy, should perhaps be here. This is just a... So I'm returning to this just a little bit.
I guess he's beyond shy.
He's beyond shy. Well, the question is this. Since he's not here, I guess he sent you as his ambassadors. Did he give you any kind of direction as to how you should present the film for him? That's question one, but then question two is more for...
Well, more to the point, did he tell you what not to say?
No.
And the question,
think that way.
And the other question is, what is the conversation behind the scenes with the festival as to when a director is not going to show up? I'm just curious.
Mike? Just the first, I think it was the first part of that. I mean, I think that... The way Terry chooses his people, he has a very good sense of people, I think, and takes a lot of care. And I think that he chooses the people that are around him, and a lot of whom have a prolonged relationship with him, based more on their ability to be able to make their own decisions, to be able to make their own conclusions. And I think the idea that somehow he would want to exert influence over, you know, how they presented their own opinions or presented information at something like this is a long way from Terry as a person. I mean, in the same way as he expects out of his audience that he puts the film out there, and he just sort of wants people to sort of make of it what they will, and I think you have to respect that.
You know, and he sees himself, I believe I can speak for him, as building a house. And something, I don't know why it's accepted that people who make things in our business are not then expected to sell them, and I don't think it computes with him. He wants to focus on the making of and not the real estate, selling of the real estate. It is an odd thing that for an artist to sculpt something and then be salesman. Go ahead.
I think to his mind, the most sincere gesture he could make to the audience is to let the audience interpret it as they will, each on their own, individually. And any influence on that corrupts the process.
You know when you have a favorite song and you hear, then you see the band telling what it's about, describing the lyrics, and you're immediately disappointed and you can't listen to that song anymore? No?
All right. We'll take three more questions. Go ahead, sir.
Keith Simonton, IMDb. My question is the difference between the film that wasn't ready last year and the film that is ready this year. Was there just more of it? Was there anything thematically different?
I think the one last year was less complete.
It just wasn't, you know, if you believe that movies are alive and talking back to you, there's a point at which it's very obvious they're not finished. And then there's a point at which they are. And hopefully you have the privilege and luxury of listening to that and that being the single voice in the process.
Again, the structure is unlike anything you've seen. It's quite complex. And so this film was not going to take the normal gestation period. They had to keep honing it, keep shaping it, and figuring out what it is.
But it also didn't take any dramatic turns. It didn't suddenly, like last year, it didn't suddenly decide it needed to be something else. It was always just an evolution. I wouldn't say there's a huge difference between where we were a year ago and where we are now. But there were definitely refinements and part of the evolution that Dee Dee's talking about. So.
The lady here, the gentleman over there.
I'm Sabine from Germany, ZDF News Magazine. A question for Brad Pitt. Beside the temptation to work with Terrence Malick, what attracted you to the story when you read the script? Did you read it as a father?
We were actually already on it as producers, and the unfortunate thing about this business sometimes is that great stories have great difficulties getting made, even when there's people involved like Terry Malick. And we've witnessed a lot of really strong scripts go by the wayside, not get made, and we wanted to ensure that this one did, and so I jumped in. Am I answering your question? Oh yeah, I was a little hesitant about playing the oppressive father, but I felt like the story was so important, and to me it was really about the kid's journey, and you know, I think about everything I do now. My kids are going to see when they grow up, and how are they going to feel? But they know me as a dad, and I hope they'll just think I'm a pretty damn good actor.
Question here, then the gentleman over there.
It's a question for Brad. Roger Friedman from Showbiz 410. Hi, Brad. I think everybody considers you sort of one of the top three or four biggest movie stars in the world. And you're not doing Mission Impossible kind of movies. You're doing Benjamin Button. You're doing this. You're doing, like, moody character pieces. Can you talk about how you pick roles and why you're not doing sort of more, you know, blockbuster kind of things and why you're doing these sort of intense things?
Well, don't count me out of Mission Impossible because I'll be there. Yeah, I'm not that highbrow. But, you know, like the film itself, you want to discover, you want it to be about something, you want to find something new. I always have. I want to find something different. That's been my focus. Also, I think of my, it was about 10 years ago and I started thinking about my favorite films. And they weren't the big commercial things. They were things that had a little more depth, that were asking bigger questions or really, really funny. I do like a comedy. There's some great comedy coming out of America right now. Thank you. I'm thinking of like Zach Galifianakis and Jonah Hill and Danny McBride. Anyway, I like that too. But the point is just to keep messing it up, and I figure I only got so many more of these that I'll get to do, and I want to make sure that it has some worth to me and have some worth in out there instead of something that's more disposable.
Sir?
Ben Hoyle from the Times in London. I just wanted to ask about the dinosaurs. It's quite a risky thing to introduce dinosaurs into any,
right,
new film, really. You risk jolting
exactly
the audience a bit. Could you tell us whether the dinosaurs were always part of the plan for this film, and a bit about you know, using them and how you did it?
It was always a part of the script, this story of time as we know it.
DV, Sarah?
Well, you know, formation of the universe includes dinosaurs.
There was discussion about the dinosaurs.
I'm afraid our time is up. Thank you all very much. Thank you for being here, and congratulations.